Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hello, everybody. It is a Friday. Going on into week one, all of the preseason games are now done. Welcome to FST Fantasy Sports Today. Dane Martinez and Mike Blewett for the next hour are going to give you everything you need to prepare for fantasy football drafts over the holiday weekend and to get ready to win your fantasy football league. You know, the number to call is 844-843-6879. You could follow us on Twitter as well. Check us out there if you want to help join the show. We're going to be talking about some good stuff today. We're going to have some reactions to anything that was meaningful out of the preseason games yesterday. We're going to talk about, you know, over on mybookie.ag, who we like as good bets to maybe lead the league in rushing, receiving, and passing yards if you want to get in on those prop bets. And some interesting news in the state of West Virginia that we'll cover as we slide on into a holiday weekend. Dane Martinez and Mike Blewett. Hey, Mike, how you doing on a Friday? All right, Mikey Blewett, we're going to get him off of mute in a little bit. We're going to have Mikey Blewett join the show. But here's what we're going to do. All right, the first thing that I've got to say is, listen, we had the fourth preseason games yesterday. I thought it was interesting, these rookie quarterbacks, Mike, okay? Baker Mayfield goes 9 for 16 with 138 yards. Lamar Jackson goes 9 for 15 with 109 yards. He also adds 25 yards on the ground and a rushing touchdown. Both of these guys are showing steady improvement, Mike. What do you think about their outings? We still do not have Mike Blewett. That's okay. No problem. Here's what I think about these rookie quarterbacks, right? What I see is that Baker Mayfield continues to develop. He continues to look good. He continues to have poise in the pocket, right? And he's making some good, crisp decisions, right? So I think, you know, you've heard this on this air from me, from Blewett, from the King Scott angle, that we believe Tyrod is, in fact, the starting quarterback there and is going to maybe hold Baker off. But in dynasty leagues and stuff like that, I really do think Baker Mayfield has a future. And Tyrod may be on another squad and may be a hot commodity next year along with a guy like Teddy Bridgewater. What do you say to that, Blewett? Are you still with us now?
Yeah, I'm here. So sorry about the little technical issue. You hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, I do think Baker's a long-term.
We're losing Blewett over here. We're losing Blewett, Bavona. Let's try and get him on a good connection, all right? Because I definitely want to hear what he has to say about Baker Mayfield and about Lamar Jackson. Here's the other thing that I think is interesting, right? Here's the other thing that I think is interesting as it relates to these rookie quarterbacks. You know, I thought it was also interesting who did not play. You know, Josh Rosen did not play. It was all kind of, you know, the backups there, Glennon getting showcased, stuff like that. Darnold was in bubble wrap because they expect him to be the week one starter. The one that I think is interesting is that Josh Allen didn't play either, right? The Bills ran out A.J. McCarron the entire time. And what that signals to me, Blewett, if you're back with us, is that the Bills still don't know who their starting quarterback is. Is it Nate Peterman? Is it Josh Allen? The fact that they left Josh Allen off the field, you know, to me signals that they are not exactly sure who is going to be starting under center for the Buffalo Bills in week one. Blewett, if you're with me, what do you think?
I mean, if they protected him last night, though, and didn't get on the field at all, that says to me that they were trying to protect him, making sure he didn't get hurt. If there was a share of snaps last night, then I think ultimately we'd be debating it a little harder. But I think they're trying to keep him clean and that he'll be out there as best as he can be in week one. Right now, I mean, do you really think Nate Peterman has completely played himself into the number one job? Clearly, it was McCarron's night last night, but I don't know that Peterman has played his way into the job. With the offensive line issues, I would start Peterman, but I think the Bills are just ready to turn the page.
See, that's what I think it is. I think the offensive line is a critical factor here, Mike, okay? I think they're actually trying to protect Josh Allen. When they gave Josh Allen that start in the third preseason game and they were kind of like giving him a dry run to see if he can handle it and stuff, I think the issue was the offensive line, and I think that they're going to run Peterman out there and, in essence, you know, sacrifice him to the wolves, you know? I think that they are, if anything, worried, and I brought this up before, the older brother, David Carr, remember him with the Texans, how he got, you know, smacked around and sacked like 55 plus times his rookie year. And then it made him a little.
He had an over 70 sack season.
That's what it was. Right. So I think that maybe my feeling on this is that Buffalo may be trying to protect Josh Allen from that because they see him as the long-term future. They know they got a bad offensive line, that he got beat up. And I think they see Allen as a longer-term, you know, he is their franchise guy. And I think they don't want to mess with his kind of confidence. They don't want him being skittish in the pocket. And so I think they're going to turn to Nate Peterman and, in essence, let him take the bumps and bruises.
After the last week's preseason game, Lewis Riddick of ESPN, who I think is great, he was talking about how bad it was for Allen, and it was reminiscent of him that when he was with Washington as an executive, they drafted Patrick Ramsey, and they just couldn't protect him, he said. And Patrick took a beating, and he said it impacted his career completely, right, that he became gun-shy because we didn't protect him. He took a lot of hits, and he never developed in the way that he should. And we've seen this over the course of NFL history, that players have not developed because they're taking a beating. Look, DeShone Kizer gets drafted in the second round last year. They can't protect him. They don't put him out there to succeed. He throws a billion interceptions, and the next thing you know, they're shuttling him off to be a backup somewhere. And he never got a real opportunity. People will say, well, he started 16 games. Yeah, but you can't put guys that are juniors in college under fire on a completely dysfunctional team and say, well, sink or swim. You have to try to put people in a position to succeed. I get the sense that the Bills are ready to go with Allen, but like you're saying, why don't you just give it to the guy with a little bit more experience in Peterman, see if you have an asset there, and then you can move him like the Jets did with Bridgewater, whenever that might be.
Yeah, I agree with you. This idea, you don't want your number one pick and the guy who you see as your quarterback for the next 10 to 12 years to develop, like you said, Patrick Ramsey, David Carr syndrome and get skittish in the pocket. It could completely undercut the kid's career. Hey, I led when we were having a little bit of difficulty there around Baker Mayfield and Lamar, what we saw out of those two guys. What'd you take away from their outings last night? Baker going 9 of 16, 138 yards. Lamar going 9 of 15 for 109 yards, but another 25 on the ground and a touchdown.
So I guess it's good that Jackson's playing a little bit better. The tough part for him during the preseason is that a lot of his passes have been of the short variety. Baker's obviously been pushing the ball downfield more than Lamar Jackson, just to compare the two. Early returns are like, you got to feel pretty good about Baker and the way he's handling things, the way that he's been accepting his role. And I think just trying to get better. I do think for all the dysfunction that still exists in Cleveland, they do have a nice plan in place for the QB position. They know that they were wrong to do what they did to Kizer last year. Now they have a veteran who's obviously well-respected. If there is a shining light in the maelstrom of lack of continuity and disorganization in Cleveland, it's Tyrod Taylor and probably Jarvis Landry too. But, you know, Landry obviously has a certain way of going about things. I don't have a problem with it, but it's not for everybody. He's in people's face. He's, you know, he's feisty, all that kind of stuff. I like it. But Tyrod Taylor is really the anchor for that team. He's a good veteran presence. He obviously works his tail off, and it's a good guy from Baker to learn from. And whether he's in week 10 this year or week 1 next year, I think you got to feel good about the early returns on Baker.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember, Yesterday, we talked about how Teddy Bridgewater kind of used this opportunity to kind of rebuild and gain respect and turn himself into a commodity likely for, you know, next year's offseason. You got to say the same thing for Tyrod. I don't know why Tyrod continues to get disrespected behind Joe Flacco in Baltimore. Listen, last year with Buffalo, the Bills were literally in the second wild card spot. I think it was like week 11 against the Chargers. He was leading them to above 500. They were 6-5, I think, at the time, literally in the second wild card spot, and they decided to bench him for Peterman. The guy gets no respect, and he's showing again that he is one of the 32, if not one of the best 20 quarterbacks on the planet, and I think he's created a market for himself in the offseason as well, right? Tyrod and Teddy are going to be, I think, sought-after commodities in the offseason.
I think you mentioned three guys, actually, that are veteran quarterbacks that could be free agent targets for people, because you just talked about Tyrod. We've talked about Teddy, who might be the top free agent acquisition, but also Joe Flacco. I don't think you can dismiss the fact that as much as fantasy owners don't find a lot of value in him and his play has not been stellar in recent years, they've been injured a lot. And Flacco isn't a guy that, like, for example, like a Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon hasn't really gotten a fair shot in a couple of instances, but he's ultimately a veteran without that much experience. Flacco has tons of experience, and if somebody wanted a bridge QB for a year or two, a la Tyrod Taylor, Flacco isn't really a bad target. So I think Flacco, Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor are three guys that could be actually solid free agency moves. Bridgewater's probably the one where you're thinking more long-term, obviously, but the other two could be bridge quarterbacks yet again as you develop a rookie.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Right, Teddy will only still be 25 in the next offseason. So like you said, he's more of an answer. Someone thinks he will be their guy for their franchise. Tyrod is sort of in between in terms of age, you know, so he could be a bridge or someone could take a shot with him as their starter, the same way Cleveland did. So and what you're talking about for Flacco, I think, is a very interesting case. You know, Mike, you and I both think that it's going to go off the rails in Miami, right? So let's say they decide to, you know, fire Adam Gase. And remember when we were talking about first coaches fired, we're going to get into my bookie and some of those odds later on. I think we both have talked about Dirk Cutter and Adam Gase as options for there. And if that happens, they'll move away from Ryan Tannehill too. You and I both think, Mike, that they may have a top five pick this year, right? So maybe they get the kid Greer out of West Virginia, Browning out of Washington. So let's say they do that, right? And Miami is sitting there with a top five pick at quarterback. Joe Flacco would be the perfect guy to, you know, have as the bridge. You know, I, like you say, similar to, say, like a Josh McCown this year. And then if the quarterback beats him out, c'est la vie. Flacco takes a back seat, right?
That's right. Sign Joe Flacco for a 1 or 2 year deal. You guarantee him in the range of $15 to $20 million.
Right.
He's not going to turn that down, and it'll give him an opportunity to play football in Miami or – I don't know, in Jacksonville or Florida.
Right.
Like, we've talked about the three Florida teams. It's conceivable that all three Florida teams by next year are moving on.
I don't think the Jags are going to be drafting in the top five, though. The Jags won't be drafting in the top five or ten. Right.
Very good point. But, heck, I mean, Baltimore, you know, they ended up trading into the back of the first round, and they're working the same angle that we're talking about right now, using the veteran and bringing the rookie up.
Sure, and teams trade up for their picks, and so who knows where it'll actually fall. But that's an interesting point with these free agent quarterbacks. So in dynasty leagues and stuff like that, listen, I told you, I'm stashing Teddy Bridgewater in a dynasty league because I expect him to be a starter somewhere next year, and I have him at value. Anything else from yesterday's games that actually struck your fancy outside of the quarterbacks that were out there?
I mean, quick, just to mention on the quarterback dynasty thing, I have Nate Peterman in the dynasty league, and I'm actively trying to trade him to the Josh Allen owner so he can
handcuffing the quarterback
however he wants. And it is Mike Florio, our friend and former colleague, who is a Bills fan. So
what a surprise! He's invested in the Buffalo Bills.
yeah.
So anything else?
Nothing really.
Anything else?
Nothing. nothing in particular. Like, I was drafting last night, so I had my eye on the TV as I was drafting. But my draft, I was basically locked in from about 8:30 to 10:45. So I didn't catch as much action as I would like. I'll catch up on more of it. I caught up on a little bit this morning, and I will throughout the day today. I wanted to check some usage and all that kind of stuff. On the negative side, I saw Ronald Jones finishes the preseason with 28 carries for 22 yards. I drafted him in a dynasty league, and I've avoided him in every other seasonal league.
Yeah, so here's my question. You know, I agree with you. Ronald Jones finishes with something like less yards than carries. It obviously looks like it's going to be Peyton Barber there for a while. But at some point, Mike, at some point, everybody becomes a value, right? So people that are drafting this weekend, you know, I remember in the GST league that we did last weekend, I believe it was, I drafted Ronald Jones in the 10th round. You know, at some point, these guys become value. So I want to ask you, where do you see as, you know, the right spot for Ronald Jones this weekend in drafts? And where do you see as the right spot for Eagles wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey? He's come off the PUP list. They're saying he's day-to-day. I think that's nonsense. I think it's more like week-to-week. The fact that he's not on the PUP list means that maybe he's back before week six, but we're hearing reports it's at least 2 weeks. I think with his history of soft tissue injuries, I think 2 weeks may even be, optimistic. I'm thinking he's going to miss more like the entire month of September, but so is Julian Edelman, and he's getting drafted, you know, earlier on in drafts, right? So where do you think is the right spot for Ronald Jones off his bad preseason and Alshon Jeffrey off of this uncertainty with the injury?
Look, you're talking double-digit rounds for a guy like Ronald Jones, who I would bet right now, at some point this season, will be a starting running back in Tampa. There's no reason for me to believe that Peyton Barber is going to come in and hang on to this job. The overall concern is that you and I both think that it could unravel on the Bucs. I think the rushing attack in particular will struggle with this offensive line that wasn't that great in the first place. They're missing the right tackle for at least the first week or two. So I think Barber's going to struggle. I think when Jones comes in, he'll probably struggle some. But to your point, he's a commodity, because at some point during the season, and I would guess as early as October, he'll be seeing the lion's share, a greater amount of carries than will Peyton Barber.
Yeah, so remember, it's not always about September. It's about Thanksgiving and beyond. And at some point, value is relative. So don't just completely cast these guys aside. All right? There is still some value with them. I want to let people know, Mike, about Fantasy Factor. It's the only exclusive single-entry DFS site. They got free rolls registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. Also, keep a lookout, because they got a free $1 million Survivor contest going on. All right? So check that out over at Fantasy Factor. Mikey, when we come back here on Fantasy Sports Today, what we're going to do is we're going to go on over to mybookie.ag, and we're going to see who we like as values, you know, this prop bets. Who will lead the league in passing? Who will lead the league in rushing? Who will lead the league in receiving? NFL superlative prop bets. Mike Blewett and Dane Martinez. It's Fantasy Sports Today on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come on right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Mike Blewett and Dane Martinez here for the next hour, I guess for the next 40 minutes at this point. We're getting you ready for Labor Day weekend. A lot of people are still drafting. We talk everything here fantasy. We also talk gambling stuff, you know, because listen, fantasy is not the only way to win a little bit of extra cash, and we try to direct you in the places to go. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But also, Mike, I want to start off with this. I mean, You can now bet in the state of West Virginia. All right. It looks like West Virginia just started taking their legal wagers. It happened at the Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, you know, the first sports book to begin operations in West Virginia. And, you know, just in time for college football. I know that West Virginia is a hot pick in college football this year. I know about their quarterback. I think his name is Greer. And we just talked about him as a potential. Yeah, he's a potential top five pick in next year's draft. And we talked about how teams that may be targeting him may also want to augment that with a guy like a Joe Flacco, a guy like a Tyrod to be a bridge quarterback. So yes, it is legal in West Virginia. So West Virginia adds its name, right, Mike, to Nevada, Delaware, New Jersey, starting to make money from, you know, getting a piece of the action.
Yeah, Mississippi too. So they, right. It was basically a soft opening yesterday. And they have a larger scale debut scheduled for Saturday. So they're owned by the William Hill. U.S. Charlestown Races is owned by Penn National Gaming. So William Hill involved. And obviously the fact that it's at a racetrack allows them in certain instances, in certain states, there's rules regarding it has to be a connection to an existing or former racetrack. So, you know. This is the type of thing we talked about yesterday. We're going to keep you updated on these types of things to let you know where you're able to place wagers. I think it's an important part of the sports discussion at large moving forward. And certainly regarding our kind of interests here at the network, we'll continue to keep you posted on that kind of stuff. So just nice little piece of news. Those people in West Virginia can place a wager on a game.
Yeah, and you never know. Maybe they like those future bets on the West Virginia Mountaineers to be in the you know, college football playoff with the kid Will Greer under center. I guess he's not really under center, right? That's a misnomer, because in West Virginia, he's probably never going to be under center. I think he'll probably take 95% of his snaps from the shotgun, because they are one of those kind of spread offenses out there.
He's All-American. And yeah. He's an All-American, and his wide receiver, David Sills, the fifth, he's a first-team All-American wide receiver option. He's the type of guy, you know, it doesn't worry me taking guys out of Big 12 offenses like that because, I mean, Tavon Austin and Kevin White were teammates at West Virginia, and I think we've seen their lack of success in the NFL. It's
Corey Coleman out of Baylor.
For some players, that's right.
So, yeah, this idea of, you know, in the Big 12, it's almost like they all put up video game stats and it's a different game. So we'll see how it correlates. But West Virginia seems to be stacked on offense and they can make a bet there legally. So, all right, we're giving people news on the betting industry, right? But, Mike, let's also give people some insight on who to bet. I go on over to mybookie.ag, where people can always enter the promo code FNTSY, and I look at these kind of like superlatives, right? And this is not an easy thing. It's like picking the MVP. Everybody is at plus money. So let's take a some look at a couple of guys we may like at value. I want to start with the wide receivers. Mike, this idea of who might lead the league in receiving, okay? So what I first want to do is remind people of last year, right? And so last year, Julio Jones, Julio Jones did not lead the league in receiving. It was actually Antonio Brown. Julio Jones was second. Yeah. So it goes Antonio Brown at 1533, Julio at 1444, Keenan Allen was third in the league with almost 1,400 yards, 1393. So everybody's got to think that Antonio Brown is the favorite, and he is at plus 200. But then I see a guy like Julio at plus 400. I see a guy, Keenan Allen, plus 850. My mind also thinks about DeAndre Hopkins, because he's the leading target getter in the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins is plus 650. Do you like those guys, or maybe someone else off the board who maybe represents some interesting value?
I would bet that it's going to come from that group. DeAndre Hopkins,
I got one
other. DeAndre Hopkins is plus 650. That's pretty interesting odds, because he did lead the league in targets last year. There's an expectation that Deshaun Watson will be a top five QB. So if you're marrying those two together, there's reason to believe that he could be right up there challenging for receiving yards as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I got two other guys because, you know, listen, Mike, a lot of this is such recency bias. You know, people forget. Yeah. People forget, like, that last year, you know, there were some things working against some stud wide receivers who I want to submit for nomination here and see what you think. I got two that I want to bounce off you. The first one is Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham at plus 800. Yeah. Okay, now this is a guy who we know was injured a bunch last year. We expect him to return to prominence, has a legit quarterback in Eli Manning. He just got paid. What do you think about the value of Odell at plus 800?
Yeah, I guess I would probably throw him in the mix with the other guys. I just don't think that the Giants' offense will be efficient enough versus the other ones that we just mentioned for him to lead in receiving yards. It doesn't mean I don't think he can't have a fantastic fantasy year, but for him to lead in receiving yards, I mean, it's a pretty big number you'd have to put up, as Antonio Brown did last
year. Probably need 1,500 yards.
Yeah. And Antonio Brown did it in 14 games, so keep that in mind.
Right.
He was really pacing out towards 1,700
yards. 1,750? Yeah, absolutely. But here's the other name I want to bounce off you, okay? Because I think you're right. When we talk about these guys, and we've talked about it before in terms of like first-round draft picks, how we want the target monsters, and Odell may have some other mouths to feed there with the Giants. So here's my other recency bias. You know, I look at the guy who led the NFL in receiving yards 2 years ago, and he obviously wasn't able to do it last year because his Pro Bowl quarterback was out all last year. I'm talking about T.Y. Hilton, Mike. What about a guy like T.Y. Hilton? And we also know that there's no stud number two wide receiver on the other side. We know Andrew Luck is going to be locked into T.Y. Hilton, and T.Y. Hilton is at plus 1,400. So I think that's an interesting value. I think there's a shot. I mean, he has done it before. He's led the league in receiving yards, and you can get him at plus 1,400. What do you think about T.Y.?
So the top, yeah, three guys that are a little bit relatively long shots. T.Y. Hilton is a good one at plus 1,400. A guy I don't think it would ever happen, but it's a similar narrative to the one you just mentioned, is Doug Baldwin at plus 2,500. I would not expect that, but if you're trying to play some longer odd wagers, those are guys that could be interesting. And a guy that I've actually ducked in drafts some, but if you believe that Pat Mahomes is going to arrive on the scene, Tariq Hill. plus 3,000 is a really interesting long shot. I mean, if you put $100 down, and you say you put $100 down on Antonio Brown and $100 down on Tyreek Hill, you have to feel pretty good about you at least clearing your money on the Antonio Brown bet. But again, of all of these odds right now, DeAndre Hopkins having put up 1,378 yards last year with a less than ideal quarterback situation for 10 games and all the targets and everything else. I get a sense that he could be the guy that's in the catbird seat here. It's him and Julio and Antonio Brown at the forefront, but Tyreek Hill at plus 3,000, that's kind of an interesting long shot play.
Yeah, I mentioned also T.Y. Hilton at plus 1,400. Michael Thomas also at plus 1,400. He had 1,245 yards last year. Remember also that Mark Ingram won't be there for the first four games, so maybe they throw the ball a little bit more in New Orleans earlier on in the season. Let's look at the passing yards, okay? Let's look at the passing yards. Again, last year, Mike, passing yards, the leader was Tom Brady with 4,577. Philip Rivers, the only other quarterback over 4,500. Matthew Stafford was third at just 4,446 yards. So I look at those guys right now. Tom Brady is at plus 375. I look at Philip Rivers. He's at plus 700. I look at Matthew Stafford. He's at plus 1,000. Other names that are kind of in the mix here as under 1,000. Drew Brees, who everybody kind of talks about, at plus 400. I don't like that one. Remember, I told you I might take the under on that one because of the running game that's out there. You got Big Ben at plus 800. He could be interesting. Aaron Rodgers at plus 650. What do you think about those kind of leading contenders, the top picks for this one? Most passing yards in the league.
Again, it could come from that group, but And I have to look at it historically. Obviously, you're going to have top names that are in the mix there for passing yards. But
yeah,
it also can go to a guy. The passing yardage title can go to a guy that's just in a position where he's got to throw a lot. And we just talked about
right.
the one in Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun Watson might have to be in a position, if this defense isn't what it was,
mm-hmm.
he could be at plus 1,600. Deshaun Watson is kind of an interesting play. You got Andrew Luck, who you talked about. He's plus 1,200. And the one that, again, I'll go back to him, is Pat Mahomes at plus 1,500. Those are pretty interesting odds for guys that we know are going to play the whole season. Obviously, you don't want to play the super long odds with a guy like Tyrod Taylor or Sam Bradford or any of those guys, because it's unlikely that they'll play a full season. So you whittle it down to your top 10 or so quarterbacks, and which one has the path to playing a lot. You know, right now, if you're asking me to pick Watson or Mahomes, well, I'm not the biggest Mahomes believer. That defense is going to take a step back. The Texans could be back where they were 2 years ago defensively. The Chiefs are not going to be. So Pat Mahomes will likely have to throw a whole bunch to keep them in the mix on games that maybe they wouldn't have gone away from them in years past defensively.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, Mike. You know, it's not only about these names that you know. The other thing to consider is that team's defenses. We have been talking a lot as it comes to Patty Das Mahomes that we think this Kansas City pass defense is going to be piss poor, right? So we think that means the Chiefs are going to be in a lot of shootouts. So Patty Mahomes is going to have to throw. I would say that that same rationale, in my opinion, really helps a guy like Andrew Luck, who you noted is at plus 1,200. We know that the Indianapolis Colts pass defense is not, you know, is kind of bottom five in the league. And so the idea that Andrew Luck will have to be out there slinging the rock as well, we know that the Colts running game is not something, you know, to write home about, whereas there is a guy like Kareem Hunt in Kansas City. So it makes me like Andrew Luck a little bit, but I think Patty Mahomes is an interesting note there as well.
Russ Wilson at 2,500 too, Dane. Do think they'll try to run the ball too much for him to be able to do it. Plus, he runs it himself enough, but at plus 2,500, you know, that's a dart throw with long odds.
Yeah, let's real quick, lastly, look at the running backs who will lead the league in rushing. And I got to tell you, on this one, I'm going with the chalk, Blewett. This is the only one where I think I'm just straight up going with the chalk. The favorite in this as plus 200 is Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. And I think he is going to lead the league in rushing. I think he is going to lead the league in carries. You know, he goes behind guys like Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell in fantasy drafts. But that's because in the fantasy world, there's the potential for those guys out of the backfield more than people think about Zeke. But I do think Zeke is a pretty decent bet to lead the league in rushing, and Vegas thinks so as well. He's at plus 200 over on my bookie.
Yeah, I kind of like that too. Le'Veon Bell at plus 500. Todd Gurley at plus 550. I like Gurley better than Bell for rushing yards, even though I would probably pick Bell in total scrimmage yards. But Gurley at plus 550 is pretty good. I mean, he was the fantasy MVP last year. We all know this, but he did not lead the league in rushing. That was Kareem Hunt. So
Kareem Hunt,
you're not trying to go out on a limb and suggest that he's doing it 2 years in a row. He didn't lead the league in rushing last year. So Todd Gurley's really, that's not terrible odds for a team that ran the ball extremely well a season ago.
Yeah, I hear you. I still think Zeke is going to lead the league. If I was going to go at a little bit longer, I would look at plus 750, Leonard Fournette.
Just about to say
yeah,
you took the words out of my mouth. That's a guy.
There
I like
you go.
Too.
We've talked about how the Jaguars are going to try to win games, right? So yesterday we talked about how I'm still not investing in any of these Marquise Lee replacements. I believe we had the conversation about Blake Bortles. You still think there may be some garbage time value there? I personally think the Jaguars are going to, you know, try to mitigate their risk that Blake Bortles represents as much as possible. Tom Coughlin running in defense. I think Leonard Fournette at plus 750 would be another place I would go.
Yeah, and a shocking long shot. And granted, I don't expect this to happen in any way. But a guy that you've talked about a lot because you like the improvement of their offensive line is Joe Mixon at plus 3,300. That is a super long shot. where you don't even yeah. you can throw $50 down just to see a dart throw of a return. If you're betting chalk, in a few instances, you want to take some dart throws. You go with Patty Mahomes as far as passing yards are concerned. Joe Mixon running the ball and receiving. Who was one of our longer shots there? I mean, could be Tyreek Hill at +3,000.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you marry him with you marry him with Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, I, you know, Mike, I might throw $10 on Joe Mixon. That $10 turns into $33K. I'll take that. You know what I'm saying? I'll take that if that winds up. But listen, if you want to win a little bit of extra cash, one place to go is BetDSI. BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payout of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI. Hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play anytime during the game. BetDSI is running deposit and sign up promotions year round. So for a limited time, use the promo code FNTSY. BetDSI is offering a $2,500 bonus on your first deposit. Okay, so use that promo code again. It's FNTSY and go on over to betdsi.com. You can head on over and start winning today. All right, Blewett, here's what we're going to do. When we come back here on Fantasy Sports Today, we got a couple of news and notes. I want to talk about some interesting contract incentives for one guy on our high stakes team that we're sharing, right, that I think has got to make us happy because, listen, if he's going to hit these incentives, then he's going to return the value of what we see. And then you had a draft last night that you told me you feel pretty good about. So we'll take a look at that. We'll break that down, and then we'll have a little bit of fun as we slide into the holiday weekend here. It's Mike Blewett. It's Dane Martinez. It's Fantasy Sports Today. I mean, Mike, also, just real quick, this is going to be a whirlwind, right? The next 48 hours are really kind of like when GMs are on, making cuts, making trades, picking guys up off the scrap heap. It's going to be a whirlwind the next 48 hours, right?
No doubt. You're going to see 1,000 players cut, basically, in the next couple days.
Yep. And we're going to see one man's trash is another man's treasure. So we'll talk a little bit also about that revolving door when we come back. It's Mike Blewett. It's Dane Martinez. It's Fantasy Sports Today on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you between the ages of 13 and 22 and love fantasy football? Then GM Genius is for you. GM Genius is the only fantasy football scholarship competition giving students a chance to play fantasy football and pay for your education. GM Genius won FSTA's Rookie of the Year Award in 2017 and has already awarded over $25,000 in scholarships. Go to GMGenius.com today and turn your fantasy football love into a scholarship.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today. Mike Blewett and Dane Martinez. We're taking you into a holiday weekend. There's a lot of drafts going on, of course. But, you know, we're going to get you ready so that you can win your leagues and win that cash. It's Dane Martinez and Mike Blewett here. I also got to let you guys know, DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along as a free roll. Have the chance to win big this year. You're going to be doing it alongside Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein. He's one of the only men to have won two separate $1 million prizes. So each week, we'll select a lucky subscriber to sweat with us, and we'll just split half the winnings with you. If we didn't win that week, no worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat the following week. Head on over to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and your share of $25,000 in play. That's dailyroto.com/sweat. All right, we started talking about some superlatives out there, but piece of news that a lot of people are interested in, and you know, we talked about it yesterday, Mike, how we went ahead and saw value in Rob Gronkowski in the third round, and we were like, we got to do it, you know, we got to do it. And he has kind of restructured his deal. So first thing, for context, Mike, last year, Rob Gronkowski had 69 catches, 1,084 yards, and 8 touchdowns, and he played, 79% of the snaps, okay? So he now, remember, 69 receptions last year, he gets a $1.1 million bonus If he gets 70 catches, one more. He had 1,084 yards. He gets a $1.1 million bonus if he gets 1,085 receiving yards. One more. He had 8 touchdowns last year. He gets $1.1 million as an incentive if he gets 9 touchdowns. One more. He had 79% of the snaps. He has an incentive, $1.1 million, for being there 80% of the snaps. So basically, Mike, I gotta love it, right? Because Gronk has some extra skin in the game to do better than he did last year. And he's helping the Patriots also, you know, kind of moving some money around, right? What do you think about these incentives?
I love it because it takes away my concern of them resting him. Now, it has to be noted that if Gronk hits all these, by week 15, you won't see him again. Because he'll get paid all of his money, and in your championship game, you won't see Gronk if he's hit all these incentives. Because I do think the ideal would be that the Patriots blow through the AFC East, they earn the home field advantage by week 15, week 16. I mean, the division is bad this year, so they blow through it, and I'd be worried about Gronk resting for a championship game. But they shouldn't have that big of a lead on the Steelers or
that's what I was going to say.
Tennessee or on the Chargers. So hopefully it's still close. But it's good news for people like us that have drafted Gronk because they're not going to manage him throughout the year. He's going to want to get out there, pick up the extra $4.3 million for per-game roster bonuses, plus the additional incentives that you just mentioned. And what may be his last season in the NFL and the last season or as a New England Patriot, I think he can feel, you can rest easy knowing that he's going to be out there trying to earn some extra money. You know, Gronk is a guy, it's important to note with his salary, Gronk is a guy that is said to have not spent any of his salary money throughout his career.
Right.
He's just worked off of appearances and endorsement money and has lived very frugally, as far as an NFL player goes, and he's going to be retired comfortably, probably within the next year or two.
Yeah, and also, listen, Gronk is one of the few players in the NFL who has a brand of his own, especially a non-quarterback, let's say. Maybe Odell Beckham being really the only other ones that I can think about, Le'Veon Bell trying to be a rap artist and stuff like that. But I say this to mean, when he retires, and Gronk is, you know, like a 33-year-old man, he is still going to be getting endorsement deals. He's still going to be doing appearances. You know, he's still going to be doing cameos in movies and stuff like that. So he has nothing to worry about. I will say this, Mike, I disagree with you on them resting Gronk as early as week 16 for the fantasy championship. And yes, you're right. They should run away and hide in the AFC East. But, you know, with first round buys and home field advantage, I think will still be on the table. We saw, you know, remember week 15, they have a battle with your Steelers, right, Blewett? And I think that game is going to go a long way to deciding buys and one seeds. You got the Chargers, who we both like out west, you know. I think whoever wins the AFC South will probably not be a team that's one of the first round buys, but I do think that there'll be something for the Pats to play for, at least in week 16. It might not be the AFC East, but I do think it'll be buys and the one seed in the AFC.
Yeah. They had to win. They had to go 13-3 last year, tied with the Steelers. They had to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh in order to earn that tie, in order to earn that tie break. So it could be a similar situation this year. But I could see there being a little bit of distance this year. I don't know that the Steelers are going to rip off 13 wins this year. I thought they were better last year, but in any event, this
fair
is
enough. But I think the Pats were better last year too. I think the Pats were better last year too. Don't you think the Pats take a step back? I mean, don't get me wrong.
No.
They're still the Pats, and betting against Belichick and Brady is a fool's errand. But you don't think there's some impact losing their left tackle, losing Deion Lewis, losing their defensive coordinator, no Edelman for the first 4 weeks, this cloud over Tom Brady and the Bill Belichick relationship and Alex Guerrero? You don't think that there's a universe where the Pats just go 11 or 12 wins?
I think there's a universe where that can happen, sure. I always feel comfortable betting more than 12 wins on a team. Great teams can go 12-4. So I'm not, but I do think you can make an argument at offensive line. They're obviously weak in there. They lose Nate Solder plus their first-round pick. But I like the running back room better in adding Michelle. They lose Lewis, but he's an oft-injured player, and I like the fact that they added some youth there, and they're obviously going to define Rex Burkhead's role at least a little bit more if he's healthy. They have Edelman for 12 games instead of zero, so that's better. And they got Hogan there. I know they lost Brandon Cooks, but I think the receiving core can still be legitimate. Brady is Brady. And I actually do think the defense got a little bit better. They made some additions. I know they lose Matt Patricia, but that defense was brutal last year. It really wasn't good. The fact that they made it to the Super Bowl and were within a whisper of winning the Super Bowl is sort of amazing, because that defense was awful early. It got better in restricting teams in the red zone throughout the year, as they often do. But on the whole, that defense was pretty bad last year, and I think it will be improved this year.
Yeah, it was definitely really bad to start the year. Maybe got a little bit better as the season went along. But I hear you. I just think, like, listen, if you project them to be 14-2, then maybe there's no Gronk in Week 16, right? But if you project them to be more like a 12-4 team, if they're more like a 12-4 team, which is where I'm more comfortable talking about New England, if that is the case, then there's going to be stuff still on the line for the Patriots in Week 16, thus the Gronk
we'll
and
win
your
the whole
fantasy
thing,
championship.
Then you and I win the whole thing.
Back. That's what I'm talking about. I hope we can do it. I think we are primed and ready to go. So in that draft, I think we feel good with Gronk. And you had a draft last night, Mike, where you really feel good about it. I'm looking at your roster right now. But first, do me a favor. Give us the parameters of this, because you said there was a keeper. There was keepers involved. I actually, one of my best friends in the world, my man James Chavone, we know him as Rocks. He was the original co-host of the Fantasy Freestyle back at the origins of Fantasy Freestyle. So I know he's a little bit sharp also, and I'm sure he has a decent team. I know he had some decent keepers. So tell me about – this is a keeper league, right? So tell me about the you know, the settings and the format first.
Sure. It is a keeper league. No limit on the number of keepers you have. It's a three-round penalty from the year before, moving guys up. But he had some really good keepers, including Alvin Kamara, which I think he kept in the ninth round because he drafted in the 12th round last August. So – That was a good one. Michael Thomas, he might have had Michael Thomas, too, in like the fifth round.
I know he's a big Saints fan, my friend, my boy James. I know he's a huge Saints fan, so it would not surprise me if he wound up with Michael Thomas last year and then used a middle-round pick and was earlier than most on Alvin Kamara. That would not surprise me, because I know he is a huge Saints fan. But what were your keepers in this one?
So I kept Zach Ertz in the sixth round. I kept Corey Davis in the seventh round. And I kept Marlon Mack in the ninth round, which I admit I could have thrown back in. But I just figured, let me just lock in some running back depth. I don't know that I'm a huge Mack believer, but it's slightly below the price where he's going in drafts. So I just took some value there, backed up the guys that I was going to take early, and moved on. I really struggled with running backs in this league for the last two seasons. And so wanted to make sure that I was setting myself up right. And I had the 10th pick overall. It's a half point PPR, and there's no kickers. So everything else is pretty basic, 12-team league. So I had the 10th pick. I thought I might get Fournette. He went one pick in front of me, and I went with Christian McCaffrey. I had an opportunity to draft Kareem Hunt, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Keenan Allen. We're all there on the board. I wanted to lock up a guy who I haven't had a chance to own yet this year, A, and B, I really like this season. I think there's an increase in workload. I think you're going to see how versatile and how good a player he really is. People are assuming that he's some sort of ultra pass catching back and he can't really have a strong workload. He had a crazy workload at Stanford. I think he can do it here. He isn't the biggest back, but I don't think he's too small to handle 20 touches a game.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, especially like you said, I think it's half point PPR you mentioned. So I like that with Christian McCaffrey. I want to probe you on one thing you said, though, in that explanation. You said that you grabbed Christian McCaffrey. One of the reasons was because to this point, you didn't have many shares of him. So for people out there that are going to be in, you know, multiple leagues, and I know some of our experts, some of the sharp players, really in a lot of leagues, Do you, are you conscious of that? Is that a tiebreaker for you that you want to kind of spread yourself around, maybe so that, you know, the injury to the stud rookie, first round running back doesn't impact all of your teams? Or do you not, how much do you consider that? You said you got CMC because you didn't have shares of him yet.
Yeah, I think to some extent, I'm always going to try to diversify as best I can. When it comes to first round picks, you should probably diversify more than any other round, right?
Right.
If you feel like you're extracting a lot of value out of Nelson Agholor and you're banging him in the eighth round every time, go for it. But in the first round, I can't tell you whether Le'Veon Bell, whom I have, or
right.
Melvin Gordon, whom you and I have, or Christian McCaffrey, right. who I now own, is going to get injured. So
right.
it's for me to go all in, for example, on Le'Veon Bell and then have him tear his ACL again, which he's done before, would bury my entire fantasy season. So more so probably than any other round, it's probably best to diversify there. But it's two-pronged. Some of it is diversification. Part of it is that Fournette didn't fall to me, and I like McCaffrey better than Hunt and the other players at that point.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I agree with you. At the first round is where you want to diversify because all the options are fine, right? Like,
that's right.
I'm happy if on if on one team I have David Johnson, on one team I have Leonard Fournette, on one team I have Melvin Gordon, on one team I have David Johnson. Then, like you said, the traumatic injury doesn't hurt my entire fantasy season as much. I completely agree with you. Hey, Mike, I want to ask you one more thing about this draft, and it may not be where you thought I was going to go, quite honestly, so I apologize. But in keeper leagues, in dynasty leagues, right, you got to have some of these other guys on your radar as well. And I see a name on your bench, and I got to ask you where he went. Where did you draft Darius Geis?
The 11th round. So my,
I had him
written down from the very beginning of the draft. People in this league, which is a home league, people, because of the format, have gotten pretty savvy about it over the years and making sure they stash guys. We have an IR spot on,
right.
we have, it's, you start 8 players, 7 on the bench with an IR spot, which you can use throughout the course of the year. But in a keeper league like this, I can stash Darius Geis for the whole year, leave him on IR. I basically won't use the IR spot throughout the year for rotating players and guys that are out for time. I'm going to have to keep injured players on my bench. But
right.
Darius Geis went in the 11th round. I took him right before your boy James was going to take him. So
I
will
sure
have Darius Geis, I won't be able to use him this year, but next year I'll have him in the 8th round, the year after that, the 5th round, the year after that,
right.
the 2nd round. So if he is a success in Washington, I will have him for 3 full seasons.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And listen, you said your league, there's no kickers, right? But in leagues that are Dynasty
right.
League where there is a kicker, I completely recommend drafting a guy to put in your IR spot, you know, and then when you have the one empty spot in your roster, that's when you fill it in a kicker right before week one. Did the same thing happen with a guy like Hunter Henry blew it?
Yeah, Hunter Henry was taken in the very last round, the 15th round. So he'll be stashed for the entire year. And that player would get Henry in the 12th, the 9th, the 6th, and then, you know, if Hunter Henry is a huge success, you could conceivably
right.
keep him in the 3rd and have him for 4 years. But at minimum, I think you can extract 3 years out of that, and I couldn't do another player like that. I took my
right,
one
cause shot.
Right,
because you have Geis doing
I got
that.
Geis, and then I was off the board for taking players long-term. I also didn't pick any suspended players or anything like that, no, but no other injuries. I wanted a full complement of players going into week one.
Yeah, no, I think that's a nice little tip for us to let people know about as they hide into their dynasty drafts for the holiday weekend, okay? Use that IR spot and then just pick up a kicker from now until next Thursday. Remember, Mike, we said here it is going to be a whirlwind in the next 48 hours as teams have to get down to 53 players. We're hearing a lot of buzz that maybe one of our guys, Randall Cobb, could be on the move. I'm hearing a lot about Amir Abdullah. Listen, I think he's the odd man out when you already have Blunt. You have the rookie Kerryon Johnson. You know about Theo Riddick's role out there in Detroit. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Do you anticipate maybe Cobb, maybe Abdullah, anybody else that might be wearing new laundry when we talk again on Tuesday morning?
I mean, there's so many rumors about Cobb being on the trading block and the fact that they're going to owe him $8.5 million if they can get out from underneath several million dollars, I think they're going to take the opportunity to do it and let Geronimo Allison step up, whom I drafted last night. If you are drafting tonight or tomorrow morning, you have to strongly consider Geronimo Allison's increased value with the potential Randall Cobb cut. So I think, yeah, there's an opportunity for Cobb to go somewhere else. A place like Indianapolis would probably be a good landing spot.
Yeah, we've talked about some places, Indianapolis. You believe he could be an outside receiver, right? So it doesn't matter if Dallas with Cole Beasley or Miami with Amendola, although they did pay Amendola and like Albert Wilson in the offseason. Hey, Mike, have a great holiday weekend. You're doing some drafts. I'm doing some drafts. I have my long-term keeper dynasty league happening over the holiday as well. When we come back, though, Mike, on Tuesday, it's almost the season. Right, we'll be talking DFS lineups, we'll be talking bets for week one, and we'll be talking injuries and inside injuries. Are you ready for some football? We will be here at FST. Mike, have a great holiday weekend. We'll be back live and in person, 8 a.m. on Tuesday, Fantasy Sports Today.